Hi everyone, and welcome back to Into the Void with your host Ant Insuli, and you join me today for episode number 3. And thank you all for tuning in once again today. I hope you are all doing well and managing to thrive during these rather extraordinary and strange times. Anyway, what I would like to talk about in this third episode of my new show Into the Void, I want to begin, excuse the plane overhead, inopportune moment, I want to begin by talking about what I've considered quite a lot on my sister show on Discerning Consciousness podcast, and what many people are talking about in the alternative sphere, and even within the mainstream we've got this sort of idea of all the systems being in crisis, like here in the UK the NHS is in crisis, etc, etc. But what I want to share is this idea of what it actually means when we say that the system is imploding, or probably to put it in a more refined way, to say there's a sort of a crisis at the core of sort of political, social, economic and financial institutions that we all find ourselves part of. So what does that actually mean? What does that actually look like? So in a moment, I'm just going to give some real concrete examples. As we know, we live in a system, or under a system of control, that by its very nature is parasitic. For example, the fiat monetary system, which in its very inception, just over 100 years ago, was designed to fail. So this has led to sort of also the kind of the coining of the phrase late stage capitalism, or as I prefer to call it, the final denouement, when the system really, as we've seen in recent decades, of course, it really does reveal its true nature. You can see its horns and teeth, the mask is wrenched asunder. And what we have during this final denouement, or the late stage capitalism, if you prefer, what we've seen in the past, like with the fall of the Roman Empire, of course we've had similar types of epochs in the past, is a complete complete collapse within society, and a move towards where self-interest reigns completely. And this begins, and this obviously leads to things imploding, because brother turns upon brother, or sister turns upon sister, perhaps I should also say. And even within the political elite, the financial, political and corporate elite, or establishment, perhaps we can put it like that as well, they begin to turn on one another as well. Now, a good example of this, specific to the political situation here in the UK, in recent months there's been a row between the UK government and Bank of England, because what's happening is the Bank of England, who are said to be independent, apparently former Prime Minister Tony Blair, one of the first things he did was to make the Bank of England independent from government. That was back in 1997, quite a few years ago. Anyway, the current row centres on interest rates, and the fact that only recently the Bank of England put rates up by 0.5%, and it was larger than was expected. Now, government spokespeople, because obviously the political fallout of rising interest rates is quite serious for a governing party, the Conservative Party, in this instance, rising interest rates obviously has a negative impact generally upon things like the housing market. And depending on what kind of mortgage people are on, they have to pay for more for their monthly repayments. Now, there are certain government figures and spokespeople who are coming out and being quite openly critical of the head of the Bank of England and the committee who decide once a month. I think it's about 6 or 7 people who meet, and they come to a kind of consensus and they set the monthly interest rate. And it's becoming quite laughable, because these government spokespeople are saying basically the Bank of England, they don't know what they're doing, they haven't got a clue. They think they're raising interest rates to the point that is in danger of destroying the UK economy. And likewise, the Bank of England are sort of claiming that the government, they don't know what they're doing. So we have this spat, if you like, all this argument going on around interest rates, which is really quite unprecedented normally, because normally the Bank of England and the UK government kind of would sing from the same hymn sheet, to put it in those terms, and they would appear to be following the same set of policies. But just back to my main point I'm trying to make here, because we are living through a time of extraordinary change where the kind of norms that have existed are no longer sustainable, can no longer be sustained, we are seeing kind of real dramatic change, and the control system is beginning to fail. It is beginning to fall apart. And this is just one small insight into how, as I was saying before, in late stage capitalism, or the end of any system, self-interest becomes a priority, obviously, because people, those who've gained the most, these financial, corporate, political elites, they don't want anything to change. But by the same token, they recognise that, you know, it's getting to squeaky bum time, because certain new realities are rising and they can't manipulate and control to the same extent that they once could. So that's why they're now turning on one another, and they're just basically thinking of how they can protect themselves and how they can protect their own futures, because they want the long running gravy train of easy profits to continue forever. But unfortunately for them, but perhaps fortunately for us, the saner members, of more conscious members of society who can actually peek beyond the firmament, peek beyond the veil, and can see what's happening, we can actually see that this is a good thing. Whereas obviously the mainstream, they see this as a bad thing, as yet more evidence that society is imploding, and in our institutions, you know, like the Bank of England, that we could once trust and consider that they knew what they were doing, they had professional, competent people at the helm, that is now being questioned, because everything is basically imploding. The roots are being shaken up. It's very apt as I sit here on a beautiful day in the New Forest near my home on the south coast of the UK. I just want to obviously briefly say, in terms of around interest rates, this is, as I was talking about before, said we need to, as a country, raise interest rates in order to control inflation. But neither the Bank of England, I don't want to get into an economic discussion, don't worry, I won't bore you with that, but neither the Bank of England or the UK government are going to admit, of course, that one of the main reasons why inflation across much of the Western world, not just the UK, is increasing, because going back to the original banking crisis in 08-09, and we had things like quantitative easing, where funny money was pumped into the economy. Of course, if you keep pumping funny money into the economy, it reduces the value of the pound or the dollar in the citizen's pocket, but they obviously can't admit to that. And more recently, with stimulus checks in the US and furlough payments in the UK, furthermore, creation of funny money to the tune of hundreds of billions of pounds or dollars. And they can't admit that. So I just want to give, moving on now, I just want to give another example of how these institutions are in crisis, and basically how the system is beginning to implode. So recently, I think it was the end of last year, a huge kind of governmental quango organisation, not quite sure how to call it actually, here in the UK, anyway, again linked to finance and economics and the corporate world, of course, called the CBI, or the Confederation of Business Interests, I think that's what it's called. Basically, there was a huge row because one of their senior executives was said to be involved in a sexual scandal, around sexual abuse. It later came out that all that had happened, again, can't actually know the ultimate truth, but bearing in mind the kind of woke era we're living in, he actually just complimented a fellow employee at the CBI. A female said she looked really nice or something. I don't think there was any sexual connotation with regards to a dress she was wearing. There was this almighty row that ensued, and then a lot of kind of FTSE or blue chip companies, they all ended their association with the CBI, Confederation of British Interests, Business Interests, I think that's what it's called anyway. And, you know, in their kind of woke virtue signalling way, they all pulled back. And at the time, it was thought that the CBI might not even exist. Now, this isn't just another example that there's many to draw on of fake virtue signalling. What it also is an example of what I've been speaking about since the beginning of this particular episode of Into the Void, is how what we are seeing more and more is how there's just this kind of sort of where self-interest is reigning, where everyone is turning on one another, and there's no real sticking to a playbook or a rule book anymore. It's just like literally a survival of the fittest. Now, you know, as we know, many of these corporations, blue chip companies that ended their association with the CBI, they may have their own kind of questionable operating procedures, shall we say. So that's just another example of how the system is imploding. Also, at the end of last year, again, this just shows you how that kind of woke, the process of wokeism, if you like, is also causing the system to implode. So back in November last year, we had the start of the football, or the soccer, FIFA World Cup. And there was a massive almighty row because it was held in Qatar. And Qatar isn't known for its kind of virtues in terms of upholding minority rights, upholding trans rights, gay and lesbian rights. And there was leading political figures in Western governments coming out and saying, oh, it's disgusting that, you know, FIFA chose Qatar to host the football or the soccer World Cup. Now, what was really interesting, and again, this is another example of just the system imploding and how people are just literally thinking of themselves, self-preservation, as self-preservation always happens when any system dies. So I can't remember his name. It's obviously, it's not Sepp Blatter anymore. He was a controversial figure for many years, probably heard of him, head of FIFA, a real kind of globalist pin-up boy spokesperson. But anyway, the current president of FIFA, hilariously, and actually I totally agreed, he said all of these you know, Western powers who are being critical of FIFA's decision to host the World Cup in Qatar, well, they need to look at the legacy of their own past, their colonialism, and the way they've exploited a lot of the third world or the developing world in centuries past, and it still continues to this day. So again, you can see how an establishment figure like the head of FIFA was calling out the hypocrisy of Western leaders and Western spokespeople. And again, it's a real hilarious example of how this system is imploding, and how all of the contradictions and all of the, if we think in terms of wokeism again, this sort of fake virtue signalling is exposing the system, is exposing all the lies of the system. Just bringing things up to date, you've probably heard only recently, in recent months, how the developers of AI or artificial intelligence have been warning the world, coming out and saying there's a threat that humanity might not exist in the future, and we need to make sure that we that Western governments and power brokers and government quangos and institutions, they properly regulate AI or artificial intelligence. Now, Why would these people come out and say that? It's quite a controversial thing to say, isn't it? It's quite a controversial thing to say. I believe, again, it's because of self-preservation, because they can see the way in which AI is being developed. And it may well be that they do have a good heart and a conscience, a good conscience, I should say, they have a conscience. but I think it's more about self-preservation, in that with the way AI will be developed, inevitably, as things are moving, just being driven by the profit motive and how to control human beings, they're worried that obviously the buck will fall on them, and they will be seen to be the ones who are responsible if things turn really nasty, and people within society, the people begin to get rebellious, and there's kind of revolutionary fervor in the air. They don't want to be hanging from a noose, so that's why they're coming out and making these claims. And sorry to hammer the point home, but it is yet again just another example of how things are imploding, which is good news, as I was saying before, from our side, from the conscious side, from the conscious perspective, because it just shows you that there isn't this uniform, monolithic control structure or power structure. It is really, really breaking down now. And I think that in the coming months and years, that is really only is only going to intensify, and I think we're going to see some quite extraordinary things happening in the public realm, and some quite extraordinary revelations, as these people will never call the actual system that they've benefited from so much into question. They might look at, on the fringes, some kind of sort of regulation thing, things like that, but they'll never really look at changing the fundamental principles of the system. So yeah, watch out for that in future. It's gonna be, as many people have said, buckle down or buckle up and enjoy the show, because boy oh boy, it's gonna be very, very interesting. Anyway, that's just some thoughts I wanted to share, some things that have been on my mind this week in terms of the unsustainable nature of institutions within society. And I hope those ideas have just fleshed it out, sorry, in your own mind as to what that actually does look like within society. So moving on now, I just want to pick up on one of my regular features that I'm going to speak to, and that's this idea of the truth or trap, or the truth or delusions, or truth or delusions. That's the kind of obstacles and barriers and kind of dead ends that we find ourselves in on the path of awakening, on the path of selfhood. And what I call it is the specialism trap. Now, what do I mean by the specialism trap? The specialism trap is something that happens when we begin to wake up, when we begin to research into the whys and wherefores of the world and the power, different power structures, and why the world operates the way it does, we'll often focus upon one particular aspect, let's say, of the control system, if you want to put it like that. It might be, we might learn about the symbology, we might learn about numerology, we might focus our attention, like I did for about 3 or 4 years during the banking crisis, the debt-based monetary system. How what is money? What is debt? How is money created? We might get into just focusing the crimes of the Israeli state, which I did as well. Look into that. Look into the establishment of the state of Israel. Why was that established? Or we might look at numerous other things with regards to the control system. And the problem with what I describe as the specialism trap is, when we just focus on one particular aspect, we can lose sight of the bigger picture, because all we have is like an overall small part of the overall picture. And in a sense, the phrase I use is, we kind of need to keep our eyes to the heavens as well and make sure we've got a foot in two camps. So yes, we've got a good understanding of the control system and all the different interconnecting subtle layers and what's going on and how the control system works and what means it uses and the propaganda and the mind control, etc., etc. But at the same time, we need to understand how that fits in to the bigger picture, the kind of higher dimensional picture or view, if you prefer. Because of course, if you have social media or you visit social media sites, you'll see, like on one of mine, I see there's a woman or a man, I don't know if it's a man or woman, but every other day or every day, all he or she does is just post images of the latest update from the Schumann resonance, which is interesting again. Or you get the types of people whereby, when, say there's a big event that happens, say a false flag terror attack, something like that, and they'll look into the numerology of it and they'll say, well, of course, it's happened on da 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 date, because when we look at this particular date and we add this number and, you know, divide it by pi 3.14 and we get to this number, and of course, well, of course that event happened on this particular date, you know. Or people that look into the whole numerology thing with regards to astrological cycles and why the dark forces, why they tend to start wars on particular dates, on particular lunar cycles, or they deliberately start financial collapses on specific important high-powered astrological dates in the calendar. I mean, I could go on and on and on about all these different things. Of course, we've also got those that focus upon the importance of symbology and point to the satanic nature of a lot of the symbology that's maybe used in pop concerts and pop videos and things like that. One guy who does a very good job, Vigilant Citizen, I think that's the name of him, and he exposes a lot of this sort of satanic symbology that's going on. I've just literally touched upon a few because I'm restrained by time, but I'm sure if you're into the kind of conspiracy truther kind of environment or world like I am, there's many, literally dozens of things that you can pick up on. Now, all of these things, they're amazing. It's amazing to have knowledge of these specific areas, but the problem in terms of the specialism trap, as I call it, is to just stop there and then believe that you know, the reason why the world is the way it is because of this, is because of your particular understanding of numerology, or because of your particular understanding of the monetary system, or because of your particular understanding of symbology. And that's something to I think that's something, again, that kind of like it really does feed the mind and the intellect, because there's so many there's so much information that we can glean now, whatever our specialism is. And all of these people, like these astrologists, numerologists that I follow, that do amazing work. But you know, the specialism trap is just when we kind of get consumed by the thought that this is what it's all about. And as I was just saying, where we lose sight of the bigger picture. And because there is that phrase, isn't there, that depending on your perspective, or sort of like, if you want to see something, then you can see it. I'm not explaining this very well, I do apologize, but it's like you know, if an event happens and you're into numerology and you want to point to the significance, let's say, of I think the attack in France, I think around about 2015, 2014, I think it happened on, if my memory serves me well, forgive me, listeners, I think it happened on the 13th of November. So, of course, there's a lot of numerological significance around the number 13, of course. But the issue is not to get too lost in that, and remembering that there is always there's always a bigger story. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. That there is always a bigger story at play. And sometimes when we get so caught up in our specialism, I think we can become blindsided or blinded, if you will. It's like when I got into the whole Jewish conspiracy, the Jewish global conspiracy, really that had kind of followed on from looking into all the crimes of the state of Israel, and why I was talking about before, actually, why the state of Israel was established, and of course, you know, the whole Jewish banking empires, the Rothschilds, etc. When I was in kind of like in that mode, researching a lot of that and the kind of like Talmudic control of former US presidents and things like that, whenever there was like a terrorist attack or some big event in the world, some that looked didn't actually look like it was manipulated into coming into being, I should say, then I would always immediately, my knee-jerk reaction would be to look for an explanation through an understanding of the Jewish conspiracy, the kind of Jewish hierarchy of control through things like the banking system or banking institutions. And that's just a small example, I think, of what can happen when we do focus our research, that's another way of putting it, focus our research or study into one specific area at the expense of all the wide array that we have to choose from. Because as I've spoken about before on my sister's show on Discerning Consciousness podcast, is this idea of that we're all called to be self-directed learners, or autodidacts, if you prefer. Kind of very pompous sounding word, isn't it? I'm an autodidact. It's quite hard though, because if you are an autodidact, there's no syllabus. You can't go Google the syllabus for an autodidact learner. We have to do it ourselves, and that's why it's really important that we do remain as conscious at all times. And when we are being pulled into a certain area of investigation, a certain area of research, we need to look within ourselves on an emotional level and go, why am I being pulled towards that certain area, that certain field of study? Why is it I want to gain this knowledge? It may well come from a good place, but it might be it might be because of some sort of unconscious desire, some sort of parental programming or imprinting. So I think, you know, we need to be aware of why we're drawn to the kinds of things or the kinds of areas of study. Because I think if we're drawn to certain things and we're unconscious of it, that's when we become a little bit obsessive, and that's when it's kind of like we have to feel that we have to defend, you know, if say for example that I was an astrologer, and I would always point to the significance of astrology in terms of explaining the world and what's happening in the world. If I wasn't grounded and rooted in that, in terms of being aware of my kind of shadow, to put it that way, then when I come to sharing that information as well, it might not be of the best quality, so to speak. So I think that's another important point, to be aware of not only getting lost in specialisms, but also what draws us towards that particular specialism, because it might not be coming from a good place. Anyway, as we're talking about astrology, I can mention a wonderful astrologer who actually is a local lady who lives in the Hampshire area. It's a lady called Pam Gregory, and she is an amazing astrologer. So as I'm talking about astrology, and if you might be into astrology, go and check her out. She has an amazing YouTube channel, Pam Gregory. I just wanted to share that in today's particular episode of Into the Void. this aspect of the truth of trap or the truth of delusions that we can easily fall into, the idea of specialism. So, you know, once again, watch out for that, and perhaps you know, some of the people that you follow, you may well pick up when they go off track or off beam somewhat, and whatever they're sharing doesn't, you know, no longer quite resonates with you, because it might be that they still need to do, you know, some more sort of inner healing, some more sort of kind of inner work, so that when they do, so when they do share their knowledge and insight, it comes from a more kind of sort of grounded perspective, so to speak. I just want to move on now to the last kind of last part of this particular episode of Into the Void. I want to share a recommendation for a particular video that I watched yesterday, actually. And it's from a podcast of a guy I've never heard before, but he's got a very popular podcast. A guy called Aubrey Marcus, and that's Aubrey as in A-U-B-R-E-Y, and Marcus as in M-A-R-C-U-S. It's got a self-titled podcast. And he's interviewed kind of the likes, some kind of the some quite big hitters in the alternative scene. And one of which was Del, or Big Tree, who, if you don't know, he was the producer, or is a producer, I should say, of a very, very popular documentary called Vaxxed. And he's a big player in the alt media scene. I think he's spoken to the likes of Joe Rogan, and I think he is also part of the movement to get Bobby Kennedy Jr. elected into the White House, along with Aubrey Marcus as well. I think he's also had discussions with Bobby Kennedy Jr. As to that regard. But anyway, I'll make my point here, forgive me. So the episode that I saw was the most recent that's been uploaded, and it's an interview between the two guys, and it's called Now is the Most Important Moment in Human History, and they have a conversation for almost 2 hours, actually, and it's amazing. I have to say, as you can read from the comments when you go and watch the video as well, I think it's probably one of the best podcast episodes that I've ever watched. If you like listening to me, and obviously the people that have influenced my content, my thoughts over the years, then I think you guys will really enjoy this show, because one of the main reasons, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to talk about it. I'll let you watch it and make your own mind up. But what I loved about it when I watched it yesterday was how it's rooted in kind of grounded positiveness or positivity about the future, where humanity is going, and what part we can all play in that as individuals, because as I've spoken about before on my podcast, it can become overwhelming because these processes that are going on seem to be so they're so big, they're so kind of like beyond in some regards, the kind of metaphysical aspects, the occult aspects are so beyond our even everyday comprehension, and it's so hard. Well, it's like, well, what role can I play in that? And Aubrey Marcus and Del Bigtree, I think it's Del Bigtree, I'm not sure if it's Dale, I think it's Del Bigtree, they have an amazing conversation, and there's such a beautiful empathetic flow between the two. I don't know if the guys are friends, I don't know if they've met before, because I don't really know much about either of them, but the flow of the conversation and the real love that both of them have for humanity and what I describe as the human project, I have to say, it, you know, it's a beautiful exchange. And for me, as you know, I've been, as I spoke about last time in episode 2, I've really been struggling recently, really struggling with a lot of anger, hostility towards myself, towards other people, towards the systems, towards the plight of humanity, and I felt, wow, 100% better after listening to this particular podcast episode. So yeah, Aubrey Marcus podcast, go and check him out. Yeah, amazing stuff, and I hope you get as much out of it as I have. Anyway, I just want to finish by saying I am currently working on an episode for my sister show, well-established sister show on Discerning Consciousness podcast. I'm going to talk about the art of letting go, or to put it another way, the art of detachment, if one thinks of Buddhist teachings. And I'm going to do it in a kind of quite a light, fun way in terms of the movie Yes Man, of course, the rather excellent and brilliant Jim Carrey. So I'm going to pick up some of the themes and ideas from the movie Yes Man and relate it to this idea of letting go, or the Buddhist idea of detachment. That should be out within the next couple of weeks, so do check that out. And thank you all for tuning in to a third episode of Into the Void. I really do appreciate your support as always, and I will speak to you all again very soon. Bye bye for now.